Well, hey, glad that you're with us for Father's Day. I want to welcome those of you who are watching online. Can we give a hand to all the dads? Can we do that? All right. Well, good. Well, we're so glad you're here. So glad to see so many people here this weekend. And Jordan, are we good on seats or we have to? No, we got them. That's good. We are glad to kick off the summer. Want to let you know sort of what's going on before I really get into the message this next fall. This has been an amazing year for Timberlake Church. What God is doing spiritually in the lives of people has God. I think we've grown deeper in our faith together as a church, and God continues to add to the number of people who are part of this church family. And so we're moving to a new location in our Issaquah campus, which God is doing amazing things there. If you have not visited, they're moving to the brand new Regal Cinema Theaters there. Amazing. They have these big leather chairs. It'll be great. People fall asleep during my message, which I mean, guess nothing changes then. Anyway, it's going to be great. And one of the things we're doing too, for those of you who maybe you normally go to the Issaquah campus, is we do one service live and one service video, but we're going to be moving to a live simulcast. And so what you see, whether I'm there or not, or whoever's speaking, it's going to be live, and I believe that's going to really connect us as a church. That technology will be in here in a month, and then we'll have a little lag time after that before we move into Issaquah. And then as we approach a fall, as you know, summer's a great season. Sometimes there's people in and out, as you'll see during the summer as vacation hits. By the way, how many of you have kids who are getting out of school this week? Okay, that's great. I'm sorry for no, just kidding. But as we go on vacation, but the fall is really a big time for us, and we'll run out of room is usually what'll often happen, which is a good problem. That's why we're building the new building and new parking. But this fall, we're going to be adding a fourth service on the Redmond campus at 8:30 a.m. Now I know I'm talking to the wrong crowd here. Because you can't even show up at 11:15. So, but believe it or not, our 9:45, which has become our biggest service, it'll be great for them. And also, there's a football team. You may have heard of them, the Seahawks. Yeah. They have 5:10 a.m. Sunday morning games, which is really from Satan. And so so I know you can't make it at 8:30. You just need to go to Saturday night service. But we're going to be doing this. And then we're going to be talking about as well, you know, it's not just about Timberlake. We're with church planting is a big part of what we're doing. But we also sense that God, as Redmond remains sort of the hub for what we do, that there will be a third campus. And you're going to hear about that. And so if you can pray about all these things, because our goal is this, is that God would be honored and glorified in everything we do, and that we would have a heart like his to reach out to people, and that we would also develop a greater faith. Have you ever seen someone who has like just amazing faith? And you say, you know, I want to be like that person. I want that in my life. And so what we're going to look at today, we're going to wrap up this series, Jesus in His Own Words, and we're going to look at how we develop that big faith. Want to look at a guy named Joshua first. I'm going to just reference him up front. By the way, I have one of our bacon maple bar donuts from the first service, a sign that God does love us. The Joshua 24, verse 15. Now, as we look at that, before we get there, Joshua was a guy who suffered from self-doubt. He knew he was a military leader. He knew he could command an army, but he didn't know he could lead spiritually. And as I talked to men in particular, I know a lot of guys who say, you know what, I can run a business. I can be effective when I'm doing a triathlon, not me, but them. But when it comes to being that kind of spiritual leader, I'm not sure if I'm up for it. Can I tell you, if you think that, you're wrong. Because God can do a work in your life and in your family that is bigger than you could ever imagine. See, Joshua, God had to say to him again and again, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. You know why? Because he was a little bit of a wimp. But towards the end of his life, he develops into a different person. And we read in Joshua 24:15, where he says, this is sort of to a hostile crowd, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And we see him as a man of growing confidence and faith. And whether you're a man or a woman or you have kids or you don't, I think that's what we want. I mean, you came to church on one of the sunniest weekends of the year. So my guess is that you want to grow in your faith. Well, how does this happen? Number one, it starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you were here, we did a series where we talked about our society. We live in a pluralistic society and how we want to honor all people. We don't want to discriminate against anyone. We don't want to do anything that would make someone feel excluded. We should operate with civility. But just because we're civil, it doesn't mean we affirm every belief system. Do you know that not every belief system can be true, right? Yeah, because they have competing ideas. So we can love people with holding to the truth. It begins with Jesus. And if you begin anywhere else, it is not going to work. I remember growing up in a non-faith environment. And when I prayed, came, you know, sort of a secular Jewish background, my mom was into this, you know, if we do this, we can become gods and all of that. And I remember praying, I was on South Tacoma Way. I've told you before, I'm from Tacoma, please pray for me. And God, if you are real, show yourself to me. And God showed himself to me. And he showed up. I mean, this kid from Tacoma, by the way, I love when you people send me things from Tacoma about Tacoma, which is great. Have you ever been to Tacoma? Or you saw on Cops? Someone sent me this actually a couple years ago. I think this is modified from someone else. Top 5 ways to know you're from Tacoma. Number 5, you've been married 3 times and still have the same in-laws. Number 4, your pocket knife has been referred to as Exhibit A. Number 3, you think loading the dishwasher means getting your wife drunk. Number 2, you let your 12-year-old daughter smoke at the table in front of her children. Number 1, someone in your family died right after saying, hey, y'all watch this. Isn't that awful? That is awful. That is awful. But yeah, but it's Father's Day, so I get to do what I want to. And as long as I'm doing that, I read this tweet yesterday. Kim Kardashian gave birth to a baby girl. In related news, I'm no longer the worst parent in the universe. Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Pastor Nick told me to do that. I told him it would be a real bad idea. So we start, no matter what our background, and we say, what are we going to do with the person of Jesus Christ? The most important question you can answer. And Jesus, in that self-revealing statement, says, I'm the way. If there was another way, I'd tell you. But I'm God's way for you to find salvation and hope and purpose. Well, number 2, we see spiritual growth requires consistency. Jesus says this about himself in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And by the way, I think this is where most of us get tripped up. Now, I meet people all the time who are coming to Timberlake and really are checking out Jesus for the first time. And that may be you, I would say, but there's a lot of us, we say, I've decided to follow Jesus, but I'm not really doing that well on the following part. And that's this abiding, is saying, I'm going to stick close to Jesus. And Jesus says, if you stick close to me, you will bear the kind of fruit that you want in your life? You say, well, my spiritual life is stagnant. Are you being consistent? Are you abiding? Is it one of those, is it a habit of your life that you say, I go to Jesus first? He says, you will bear fruit. That will happen. That's a promise if you stick close to him. And number three, it involves an act of faith. Jesus, again, talking about himself, John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, so isn't that, that's a great, that we have light for our life. Will you underline whoever follows me? See, the idea is we have to be active in our faith. You have to follow. It's sort of like, have you ever gotten lost? You're following someone in a car. You remember before GPS how we had to actually follow other cars? And if the person was a bad driver, you get lost really easily. And so you have to be real intent on following. You are saved. You can go to heaven by God's free gift. Your spiritual life is vital when you actively and consistently follow God. And that's what we learn as we study the scriptures. What I want to do is take a bit of a turn as we consider these principles and drive down deep into the application. And this is for all of us, I think for dads in particular. As a church staff and as a church board, we have a board which is great, group of people who pray for you and provide accountability and all of that. We've been studying a book together, and in that, I referenced that. It talks about five things that God uses to grow our faith. And so what I want to do is I want to look at those things and how we can access those in our life. I mean, imagine it. If you're a believer or unbeliever, if you had that confidence in God was with you no matter what, that when you were facing a temptation, you know that you could respond differently this time because God was going to show up in a powerful way. How would you live life if you understood that God has your very best interests at heart? Every once in a while, you'll meet someone like with a faith like that, and you'll see how God has worked, the pattern of God working in their life. By the way, if you want to grow in your faith, look at someone who you say, that's the kind of person I want to be like, and you figure out what they're about. You know, follow them around in a car, go through their garbage, stalk them on the internet. No, you don't want to, that would be a little weird. But what you want to do is say, is what's underneath that? Well, we see five things that God uses to grow our faith. One is practical teaching. Practical teaching. Jesus says in Matthew 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. See, it's not just Bible knowledge in and of itself. I meet people who say, you know, we just need to get more Bible knowledge. That's not true. Jesus said that's not true. Jesus said it's the applied knowledge that changes. Knowledge in itself is ineffective until we apply it to our life. And he says, there's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. He heard the words, but he didn't apply it. Obedience is what God wants to bring into our life. And by the way, when we're obedient to God, we teach that to our kids. How many of you would like your kids to be more obedient? All of us, right? You ever thought, where do they learn disobedience? Ouch. From us. And so what we want to be is submitted to our Heavenly Father, and then in that, they'll learn what that's like. I mean, I'm glad that people taught me the principles when it came to if I want intimacy, that I'm going to have to follow God in purity. That when it comes to money is to give, save, and live on the rest. These sort of principles, following God that way, are really powerful. And I'm glad that someone taught that to me, but then it's up to me to follow God in that. In fact, last weekend, as I was talking, just sort of an aside, I was talking about how we follow God, and one of those areas is in our sexuality. And I was saying, just because you've made a bad decision in the past, don't say I'm done and that, and I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. It's never too late to follow God. And I said, hey, if you're living together and you say, you know what, we know this is not what God says, and you know, either, hey, break up or get married or move out. I had three couples that came to me last weekend who said, you know what, we're going to get married. And I thought that was absolutely awesome. I'm sure there are a lot of couples that broke up. Those couples don't talk to me because one of them's usually quite angry at me. But it's God is always honored when we take the practical teaching of his word and we follow it. By the way, as this is what we do with your kids. We want that to be very practical in their lives. We're doing another, I'm really excited. You know, we have a great environment for kids. We're doing another revamp with our curriculum because we're saying, you know what, we're doing a good job, but we think we could even do a better job. And so excited about what the fall is going to look like in that area. Well, number two, there's providential relationships. That God molds our faith and our life through the relationships that we have. And as my kids get older, I understand that I just can't be everything for them. You know, I'm thinking, you know, who else do they need? Daddy will be fine. I'll just tell them what to do. I have two daughters. They're both teenagers now. They're great kids. But they need that when they're faced with a struggle in God and maybe they don't want to talk to dad, is that there's someone else that they can talk to. Or when there's a temptation there. Or there's maybe they're dating someone, someone's pushing physical boundaries. And, you know, they may not say, hey, you know, dad, what should I do? Because I'd say, daddy will take care of this, honey. You don't need to worry about this anymore. But you know, they need to talk to someone who doesn't own firearms. And so they, and is willing to use them. So they need someone who will point them towards God. And by the way, the relationships are absolutely key. And parents, I really want to say this. If you want your kids to grow spiritually, the relational environment you set them in is essential. Essential. Honestly, if you do everything else right and don't do this right, it will not work. If you want your kids, so you set them around. And by the way, if you say, you know, it's hard for my kids to connect, I encourage you. Here at church, this summer we have a great vacation Bible school. I don't say this. It will be full if your kids go or not. But you know what? I want your kids to go because I want them to grow spiritually. A week together is great. They make great friends, especially if they've had a hard time connecting. We have a middle school camp, which is going to be a lot of fun, a high school camp. And don't let, if finances is an issue, don't ever let that be an issue. You know, there are people who every year, literally, they email me and say, who needs to go, who can't afford it? I'll cover it. See, that's because they know what happens spiritually in those environments. And we need those relationships as well. It says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And number three, there's private disciplines. Discipline is a bad word with good results. Discipline results in progress. Discipline results in freedom. Discipline is beneficial. And Jesus, as he's talking to a crowd of people, he's talking to them about how they live their private spiritual life. In Matthew 6:1, he says this, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. See, there are certain things that you do that no one will ever know when you follow God. And Jesus there talks primarily about finances, putting God first in your finances, and putting God first in your prayer life. And when you do that, it is absolutely transformational, especially like finances. Not, I don't want to sound sexist, but especially for men, I notice when they do that, that tends to be a big place of spiritual growth. But why? Because it competes with the thing that would be our other God. And we say, no, God is first. I put God first in my finances. And if you do that, that's great. But I would encourage you to put God first in your time. 15 minutes every day where you just pray to God, talk to God, and you'd read the Bible. And you'll see when we put God first in those disciplines, that he will show up. But you know what you need to do is you need to pre-decide to do it. It doesn't ever happen by accident. Sort of like going to the gym. I don't think I've ever ended up at the gym by accident. So I really haven't. I have to pre-decide every morning. One of the things I've been doing a little more effectively lately is I've been making coffee. My coffee maker will go off. You hear the grinding of the beans and then the smell of the coffee. It sort of seduces me down the stairs. And then I drink the cup and then I lay out my gym clothes. And then I'm like almost halfway there and I can make it to the gym. And so for some of us, we just need to pre-decide. We need to say, before I do anything else, I'm going to spend this time with God. Before I do anything else, maybe this isn't a spiritual discipline, a relational one, is I'm going to give time with my kids, or I'm going to give my financial resources. When you pre-decide, you see growth. Discipline produces growth. And you will hold you accountable for that. Number four, there's personal ministry. As a Christian, you've been gifted by God for ministry, and from time to time we're challenged to step out of our comfort zone into this. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. There's an excitement when I talk to people about what God's happening in our church. And people know that it's very Jesus-centered. People love the fact that there's 20 people that say hi to you when you walk in. That there's people who, you know, there's someone who made bacon roses today. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that is a spiritual gift. I saw them back there in the kitchen, and I was a little concerned if they would be healthy, so I tried some. And the... So we love it, but the question is, will I get personally involved? Will I get personally involved in God's mission? And we've been talking about this, and I know it's makes some of you uncomfortable. Maybe you can only do a one-time thing. Maybe it's a Tacoma Mission Project or something like that. But you say, God, I will do something because I care about people who feel lost and left out and alone and who don't know you. Don't know your grace. And so I'm gonna do that. Usually we don't do it because we don't feel we're qualified. We're not, and maybe not technically qualified. And there's some things that you are not technically qualified for. For example, like I have a song in my heart, but Jesus told me to keep it there. Because if I wanted to solve the parking problem at Timberlake, I would just lead worship. That you'd never come back. And so technically, there's some things that I can't do. But usually it's where we feel spiritually unqualified. We say, okay, yeah, well, what about... And God will often use that place of pain and shame to be your greatest ministry. Recovery ministry is booming here at Timberlake as we have a low shame level, people getting transformed, and it's always led by someone who leads from brokenness. You might say, well, you know, I can't do that. And maybe it's a high school ministry. You say, I can lead a high school ministry. Do you know what kind of kid I was like in high school? And maybe that's, like, if you grew up from a Catholic background, maybe this is penance for you. I'm not sure. And you would just say, yeah, I don't want others to live life apart from God. I want them to live in the abundance of God. I want them to abide in Christ. Not only know Christ, to abide in Christ. And so I'm going to follow God in that personal ministry. Well, there's number five, pivotal circumstances. God will use that to grow our faith. Every faith story involves events and circumstances that can be viewed as pivotal. There's maybe a birth of a child. It could have been you started dating a person of faith. Maybe you prayed to God for the first time and he answered that. Now, often though, it's not those positive pivotal circumstances. It's the negative ones. It's the one where you maybe went through a divorce and a marriage ended, where you just had a sense, you accomplished everything you've wanted to accomplish, but somehow it didn't feel like it was enough. And it's at those points that God gets our attention and he can use those for our good. C.S. Lewis, in a famous quote, he says this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. In James it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And you might come here and you say, you know, Ben, this has been a great week. And you celebrate Father's Day because you've had a great dad who poured into your life. Or for you, you might say, you know, I didn't have that model growing up. And maybe it's that place of pain even, where you would connect with the perfect parent, your heavenly Father, and you would understand how he wants to be involved in your life. I want you to hear the story of someone who came to Timberlake a while back, and it was out of these pivotal circumstances that God grabbed his attention. I want you to hear Mark's story.
I'm Mark, and I've been attending Timberlake for about a year and a half now. I went to church all my life with my parents. Mainly, they wanted me to go, and so I went. You know, I knew the word God and Jesus, but didn't really put anything, no faith in it. I got married young, had three beautiful children. Marriage kind of went south. And as marriage went south, at the same time, my mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer. 2 weeks after that, my sister was diagnosed with breast cancer. And a week after that, my sister-in-law had diagnosed with breast cancer as well. I just questioned, you know, how can there be a God? Is there a God? You know, if there is a God, why is he allowing, you know, my mom to leave me and potentially my sister as well? I just was empty, completely empty. I was angry. I didn't have faith. I didn't think that there was a God, because if there was, I wouldn't be going through all this. Some friends in the neighborhood suggested going to church, suggested going to counseling, to other things, but I was the manly man and said, you know what, I'll get through it. And then I found Lisa. Lisa had told me that, you know, she'd had her past, I've got my past, but she told me what she wanted in a man. And the number one thing was a spiritual man. And I told her I don't know if I could give that to her. Because, you know, I just lost all faith in God because of what he put me through. Good friends of ours told us, you know, why don't you, we heard good things about this church, Timberlake, why don't you try them out? So we came out here and Ben was speaking. I looked at my wife and I'm like, I think I might like this place. One day while we were driving home, you know, we were talking about, you know, my journey and where I'm at and where I came from and where I'm at now. And I told her, I said, you know, I think I'm ready. And she goes, what do you mean you're ready? I said, I think I'm ready to just go all in and this is it. And a couple weeks later, we were at church, you know, and that's when Ben, you know, said his closing prayer and asked us to open our eyes if we want to accept Jesus into our heart. My eyes opened. I looked, he looked at me, nodded, said, I'm glad you're here. When I accepted Jesus into my heart that day, I was just so excited. It was like a weight just came off my shoulders. I felt light. Felt like I was on a diet, on a Nutrisystem or something. it's like, wow. You know, I mean, the anxiety in my heart, the tension, the fear. I think it's fear. I think I was afraid to accept Jesus in my heart. Afraid of what it would be. And once I did, man, I'm so happy. So happy I did. Right now, my relationship with Jesus means everything to me. It's never going to go away. It's just going to get stronger. It's a good thing.
Isn't that great? thank you too for creating an environment for that to happen. You know, the great thing was Mark was here at the Saturday night service, and he was here with his wife, and he was here with his kids, and the fruit of his decision to follow Jesus is bearing fruit with his children and in his family. And it started when he said, God, I'm gonna allow the things that have happened in my life, both good and bad, to change really the trajectory of my life. Well, if you look at this, if you've been sort of thinking as I've been talking, you say, Ben, you know, some of these things, I can't make these relationships just happen, or I can't conjure up these circumstances. How do I really position myself? And that's really the very last point, is that we need to put ourselves and our families in an environment for faith to grow. And when we put ourselves in that environment, when we say, I'm going to stick really close to Jesus, that's when God does his best work. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that, I thank you for Mark's story. I thank you that you reached out to him, God, when he was far from you. And God, I thank you the ways that you reach out to us. I thank you for the people who have drawn us close to you. God, I thank you as we've heard and have been taught, and God, how that increases our faith and the circumstances, both good and bad, and God, even how you use us in ministry as well. And Lord, what we would want to do is we would want our faith to grow. And God, for some of us, we're in that place. And we just want to say thank you, God. Keep working in our lives, and we'll do our part by staying as close to you as we can. And God, we want to be a blessing not only to ourselves and even our own families, but God, we want to live to be a blessing to others. And we believe the promise of the scripture where you say, if we lose our life, that we will find it. That when we give, we receive. And God, we want our hearts to be postured there. And so we say that to you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Ben, I believe in Jesus, but that consistency has not been there. And so the fruit has not been there as well. And if that's you, this might be one of those pivot points. Because we have to decide, we have to pre-decide that we are going to position ourselves before God and that we'll receive his joy and his blessing. And maybe you need to do some business with God right now, and you'd pray something like this to God. God, I have not been remaining or abiding. I've not been consistent. And in that, I've been frustrated. And God, I confess, I've maybe blamed you, but I just need to own it. And Lord, I ask you to give me the strength today that I would not put it off, but that I would draw close to you. I would draw close to other people. Lord, that I would put myself in an environment, my family in an environment, for faith to blossom and to grow. And God, I believe that you... what you promise is true, that there will be incredible fruitful faith in every aspect of my life. And God, I thank you for that. And maybe you're here today and you say, Ben, I don't know if I'm there yet with Jesus, if I have accepted him. And if you can't remember a time where you have made that decision to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and leader of your life, I'd encourage you to take that step. And here's how that happens, is you just say to God that you want that you'd pray. In fact, I'll pray out loud, and maybe you just agree with me silently, don't want to embarrass you. In prayer, you'd say, something like this: God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus Christ in the world to express your love and to bring direction and to bring forgiveness. And I understand that when Jesus went to the cross, that he, although he was perfect, he took on imperfection, that he would pay the price for every sin. And God, I need that forgiveness. And I ask for it. And I invite you to be front and center in my life. I invite you to be the leader, the Lord of my life. And God, I'm not sure how that's going to play itself out. But God, I'm positioning myself in right in this moment where I'm going to say yes to you. I don't know what you're going to ask me to do, but I'm going to say yes because I believe you are trustworthy and good. And the Bible says when we invite Christ into our life, that we can be assured of our eternity. That every person lives forever, but you'll live in the presence of God. That you cannot, you're not disqualified by what you've done, by your failures from the past or the present or even in the future. Because what Jesus has done for you is more than enough. But he also wants to be present in your life right now. And that if you'll let him, he will give you the peace that passes all understanding. God, I thank you for my friends who have prayed that prayer. In fact, the Bible also says as we come to Jesus, it's a personal decision, but not a private one. So if you say, hey, Ben, I prayed that prayer today, I encourage you to go public. And here's how we do this at Timberlake with everyone's eyes closed and head bowed. But if you say, hey, I prayed that prayer, that you just, as an indicator of that decision, that you would just simply look up and let your eyes meet mine. I'm going to look to my right and your left. And if you prayed that prayer, just look up and say, as an indicator, yes, I accepted Jesus Christ today as your public confession of faith. All right. That's great. Anyone else? Okay. In the center sections too. You just look up. That's great. Awesome decision. All right. And there's a number of you just, okay, that's awesome. That's great. And God is with you now. And he's with you in a way that you might not even comprehend, but you will experience. You'll experience in great successes and in failures as well. And I'm going to look over to my left. And you say, Ben, I accepted Christ today, and I want to go public with my faith. Just look up as an indication of that. Okay, great. All right. Wow. God, I just thank you for so many who've taken that step of faith. And Lord, we love you and we come to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.